This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Hey, welcome to the Christian War Room and to another session here about the War Room. Now, today, I'm not going to talk for half an hour. We will have a pastor coming on, and his name is Charles Lawson. And the talk is about the sick world of liberalism. So he's pretty much looking at current events, and he's just going through what is going on in our societies. And the last couple of days, or the last couple of talks, we were looking at predominantly at Europe, and what is going on in Europe, and pretty much it's a mirror in America as well, and we find it elsewhere in the world. But it is important to really see what is going on. There's a war going on, and this war is against the church, it's against Christianity, and this war is a war of deception, trying to get Christianity to change into something it is not supposed to be. And that is what has been going on for a long time. And then the next war is society, to try to remove society as far away as possible from a Christian ethos, from a Christian concept. And as this is happening, we are losing out. I'm remembering a pastor who was saying, you know, that the liberals, they've been targeting our children, and that's the next upcoming generation. And for most of the part, they've got them. They've got them in the educational system. They've got them through employing brainwashed liberal teachers and professors. And it's very difficult. You know, we put them through the system and we end up having agnostic kids. You know, people who have given up on their faith in God. Okay. Big challenge we have to face. Now, I'm talking about the war room. And the war room is a place where we analyze what is going on in the society, where we analyze what is going on in our communities. Who are the people on the school board? Who are the people who make decisions of teaching our kids bad stuff? What is going on? Is there anything we can do to rectify the situation? Is there any way where we can challenge whatever our kids are being taught? Is there any way where we can challenge what is going on in society? And it's very important to be vocal and to be aggressive. It probably comes at a cost, and it's going to be very high. The Bible says very clearly, you know, if you want to follow Christ, you will suffer persecution. Living a godly life will end up in persecution. This is what Paul is saying. And Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. But what are we going to do? Yeah? We've only got a short period of time here on earth. And there are a lot of people around us who are on their way to hell, to eternal damnation. What we need to do is we need to rise up, we need to be a witness to the world around us, even if it may cost us our freedom or our, you know, integrity, because that's what they did to the disciples, that's what they did to Jesus. They stole his integrity and falsely accused him of all sorts of stuff to crucify him. The same happened with the Christians as well. The Christians were in the Roman Empire. They were considered to be cannibals because they had the Lord's Supper, and they kind of couldn't compute it, what was really going on, that it was just a symbolic supper, or they didn't want to compute it because they wanted to have reason to persecute these people. Now, Charles Lawson is a very outspoken pastor. He's very different, and he tackles subjects I don't think anybody else would tackle. Now, the good thing about Charles, I've listened to him quite a few times. The good thing about Charles Lawson is he just doesn't care. You know, he speaks what he feels God has put on his mind. He doesn't care about the church, you know, whether they like it or not. He doesn't care whether it's going to destroy his reputation, or maybe he will even lose his position as a pastor. He just cares to speak the word of God. And it's very refreshing to listen to a man of this caliber and somebody who's daring enough to tackle subjects and nobody else dares to tackle. So I want to invite you to, for these next two sessions here in the War Room, to listen to to Charles Lawson and to voice some opinions which are certainly not mainstream. And I have to say at this point that, you know, anything that is being said here in the Christian War Room on BPN Radio. Is it via myself or via any of the the speakers that are showcased here? May or may not necessarily be the opinion of the management of BPN Radio. So just bear this in mind, okay? Again, I'm a contender of free speech. I'm a contender of, you know, anybody can say what they want. Obviously, this is an outlet. It's a Christian outlet. And we are feeding you with speakers who, in my opinion, are worthwhile to be listened to. Obviously, otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this in this program slot. So anyway, stay tuned here at BPN Radio. I'm going to move over to Charles Lawson. And then we'll be doing it tomorrow as well. If you want to check it out on the website, it's going to be talk number 69. It's going to be talk part 69. And you can do this at thechristianwarroom.com. So it's www.christianwarroom.com. All sort of written together. And you just go to the audio section and scroll down to talk number 68. And you can listen to this talk again. So it's a very interesting talk by Mr. Lawson about the problem we are facing in American society, particularly. That's what he's talking about, but in the same way in Europe and elsewhere as well. Okay, let's listen.
Well, it's good to be here, folks. Good to be here. I'd like to welcome our visitors. Make yourself right at home. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 1 and verse number 28. Romans 1, 28. Father, I pray that you'd give me the gift of teaching this morning. Our Father, let me be able to recall the things that I've studied and read this week and researched. And then, Father, give me the gift of making that clear and plain, Father, and delivering it in such a fashion where people can receive it and stimulate their thinking. I pray that you glorify yourself in the service today, both in the teaching, the preaching, and the worship, the singing, and everything that's done for the glory of God. In thy holy name I pray, amen. All right, now in Romans chapter number 1 and verse 28, here's what it says. And even as they did not lack to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, a reprobate mind is a translation, reprobate's a translation of the Greek word adokimos, and it means an inability to make a difference, to differentiate between right and wrong, good and evil, so forth and so on. That the mind has been conditioned to such a point to where you can no longer reason with an individual who's a reprobate. That's bad. That's bad. Now, Woody Allen, how many of you know who this is? Woody Allen, he produces movie producer. I want to read a quotation from this man. This is in the National Review, August the 12th, 2014. Here's what he said. Here's partial quotation. He said, in a godless and purposeless world, the earth came into existence through mere chance. And one day it, along with every work of art and cultural accomplishment, will be incinerated. The universe as a whole will expand and cool until there is nothing left but the void. Every 100 years or so, he continued, a coterie of human beings will be flushed away and another will replace it until it is similarly eliminated. So why does he bother making films? Roughly one every year? Well, he explained, in order to distract us from the awful truth about the meaninglessness of everything, we need diversions, and this is the service that artists provide. All right, now that's fatalism. That's not very inspiring. That's a sad view, isn't it? But, of course, these are his words. And How did he arrive there? He arrived there because of what Darwin sowed back in the 18th. Now, Darwin was not original with it, but he was the one who published it. He sowed that garbage, and we're reaping the fruit of it today. Yes, we are. Just a few days ago, some kids were murdered in Parkland, Florida. Shot down in the early stages of their life by a maniac. And the first thing to be brought to your attention was the identity of the killer. But then quickly, very quickly, it progressed from the killer to an agenda of gun control. How many of you see this now? All right. There's been very little talk about the killer, but a lot of talk about gun control. Now, you need to understand there's a lot of very influential people in the world that are pushing their agendas. And they seize on opportunities like this and use them to bring at a desired end. I want to read a column here that I read just the other day, and I've been holding this for a while, but I want you to hear what this lady has to say. She's a professor at a Bible college out in Oregon. Her name is Deanna Chadwell. This is from the American Thinker website. How many has ever been on that website? I would recommend it highly. And now, I don't agree with everything that's said, but it's like anything else. You know, use your mind. And the American Thinker will give you some perspectives that you do not get from the mainstream media, believe me. Now, here's what she says. What do humans do when they discover, albeit subconsciously, that everything they've believed is in wrong, is in fact evil? Are folks likely to do a face palm, shake their heads and say, "Can't believe I bought into such stupidity"? Sometimes the truly honest among us will do that, but it doesn't happen often. When the ground shakes under us, we're more likely to just mindlessly grab for the nearest support, propped up by our pride. Now listen to this. If we grew up certain that God is just a convenient fairy tale, that the government's purpose is to take the place of indulgent parents, that all sexual desires should be fulfilled as soon as possible, that people are just the evolutionary top of the food chain and are merely animals and therefore expendable, that drugs are enlightening, that truth is non-existent, and that most important of all, utopia is within our reach because we know better than God how to organize a nation. If that becomes embedded in your soul and in your heart, you are a reprobate. Now, I'm not saying 14-year-old kids are reprobates. 14-year-old kids are being molded. Their mind is being molded. Believe me, that's exactly what's happening. They're not being educated, they're being indoctrinated. And so when they stand up and they make their pronouncements and so forth, I give them about as much hearing as I do a dog barking. It's not that I don't respect their opinion in the sense that they have a right to express it. They certainly do. They have nothing to say I care to hear. They haven't lived long enough. They don't know anything. So the point that this writer is saying is very clear. She's saying that if you grew up in that generation, and believe me, folks, you are surrounded with people that grew up in that generation. This is all relativism, all relative. Morality is relative. Whether you believe in God or not is relative. The life is relative. These people who are, many of them who are crying so much over classmates that were murdered down there, and rightfully they should. But I wonder if they've cried over the fact that had those kids been aborted, they would never have been shot to death. Think about that. And we are now where? Somewhere between, you get different figures from different places, somewhere between 50 and 70 million babies have been butchered in this country. Think about that. Think about that. And who cries over their blood? As a matter of fact, who speaks for them since they can't speak for themselves? Isn't that something? You better believe it. You should never come to a point in your life where that's just a statistic. You should never come to a point in your life where you just pass that off as, well, that's just part of what we have to live with today. You should always remember that the day will come when people will give account personally to those kids who were murdered. Exactly. A bunch of them. Now, she goes on to say this. Now, listen carefully. This is a thinking woman. Then what do we do when we see even our most important leaders functioning as if there were no moral code? What do we think when the people we see as special turn out to be sexual predators? How are we to understand our misery when our children OD on opioids, kill themselves over Facebook bullying, or kill others just because they're angry or want to be famous? How do we handle it when we pray to the God we no longer believe in and get no response at all? What do we do? Most people look around desperately for someone else to blame, or even better, some inanimate object to hold accountable. Ban guns. It takes no moral courage to blame a thing, but it takes massive internal fortitude to look in the mirror and blame the unsustainable ideas that we've held dear now for several generations. She goes on. It's hard to look at the slaughter of our children in a schoolyard, but we're still willing to kill them by the thousands in an abortion clinic. It's horrifying to see the damage wrought by social media, but we don't have the stomach to face down our spoiled children and deny them access. It makes us sick to see the sexualization of our young children, but we're too spoiled ourselves to limit our own indulgence in nearly pornographic television. We don't seem to have the national backbone to admit our part in the destruction of our offspring. Doing some good preaching, don't you think? Amen. So we demand the banning of guns. We don't fall on our knees and confess our faithlessness to the God who made us free and prosperous. We don't change our own behavior, vow to make a go of our marriages and raise our children with both love and discipline. We don't look with a more critical eye at the policies that contributed to our fractured families, our failing schools, our angry drug-addled youth. No, we scream, ban guns. Maybe if we scream it loudly enough, the guilt will go away. And the screamers don't follow up their hollering with careful thinking about what taking guns out of our society would look like. There are over 300 million privately owned firearms in this country. We understand, those of us who know anything about history, how important it is that we keep them. We know that all our other rights rest on the right to defend ourselves against tyranny. You can name a few names. I'm not giving up mine without a fight. Amen. And I don't think I'm alone in that. No. The confiscation of guns in America will be a bloodbath that makes Parkland look insignificant. But the deep panic that the unwitting left feels at the blatant, obvious, horrifying evidence that all their most prideful beliefs are bogus is not going to allow any self-searching. Will there be curriculum meetings sprouting up all over the country to try to look at how to determine if we're teaching only what's truly wholesome and productive? I don't see that happening. Will Congress take a fresh look at how welfare policies affect family structure? Not likely. And if they did, where would we find the strong, stalwart men to step up and become great fathers? We are training our young men to be women. So how is it that going to work? How is it going to work? Are we likely, as an entire culture, to realize that law and a godless moral code can't protect us from evil? It's easier to ban guns, or at least to vociferously demand that. I'm not sure the reality really matters to the screamers. I take heart in knowing that a society can be swayed by only a small percentage of us thinking clearly. I am reassured when I remember Abraham bargaining with God over Sodom. God agreed to save it if only 10% were good, God-fearing people. Amen. 100% I agree with this dear lady. We're in a mess. Yeah.
God's going to
God's the only one that can fix it. The only one. If my people, he said, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, confess their sin, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. Government's not going to fix the problem. Education will not fix the problem. And science will not fix the problem. And I am not against education, and I'm not against science. We benefit from it every day of our lives. But the problem will only be fixed when the human heart is fixed. In Romans chapter number 1, he made it plain. Even as they did not lack to retain God in their knowledge. And has God ever blessed a nation like he's blessed this one? We have light blazing in our face. It's unbelievable. At the revelation the Lord's given us. It is. It's unbelievable. At the light we have. You ought to take a trip to India sometime. I've never been there. I don't plan to go. Have you ever heard of the Gori? The Agori? Who's ever heard of these people? The Agori. All right. Some of you folks that read and do a little research, you know what I'm talking about. There's one Agori whose arm has been extended for 30 years, just like this. 30 years. It's withered. He will not move it back and forth, in or out. It's just hanging there. They eat things that would make you throw up if I told you right now. Really, you think you've got a strong stomach? You would not believe what they eat. They live with the dead. They have human skulls about them that they drink from. They are, on this earth, the filthiest people alive. Yet they are part of the Hindu religion. The Hindu religion is a religion of a caste system. It's a dark religion, folks. You're born into a certain caste. You live out your days in that caste and you die. The lowest part of the caste system, called the untouchables. The untouchables. It's unbelievable. Yet in India, you have some of the brightest people on this earth. You have the upper class of India, some of the smartest people, some of the finest doctors and scientists in the world. Absolutely. So you go from that extreme down to this extreme. But it's darkness. Millions of gods. All of this. Yet these poor people are born into that. They live out their lives in that. And they die in that. Aren't you glad you were born in the Bible Belt, or you were born in a country where you had the truth? I am. You see, I don't have the truth because there was anything great about me seeking the truth. I just happened to be in a place where God brought the truth to me and called me by his grace. I can take no credit for anything. Thank God for it. But here's the problem. Those in India did not turn from the light. We are turning from the light. And I'm going to tell you what happens. When you turn from the light, here's where you're going to wind up. You're going to wind up right down there. You're going to wind up the bottom. That's sad. For this cause, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now listen to this. You say, how do we get here? Well, that's the point. You find out how we get here, you can find out what we can do, right? What can we do to change this? What is the most powerful thing on the face of this earth? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel of Christ can change you from a child of hell to a child of God. It is light. It is the illumination to your soul. It's the real light. Not this illumined light. Not this initiatory light that you get from the occult world. That's light that is dark, and it's leading into more darkness. The light is Christ. He said, I'm the light of the world. Listen to this. Since the Renaissance, now you all know what the Renaissance has. It has to do with a period of time that's set aside arbitrarily as the Dark Ages, and then the light begins to open up. Men begin to examine. You can see it in their architecture. You can see it in their literature. You can see it in the music. You can see it everywhere. Now listen to this. Since the Renaissance, powerfully influential, satanically overshadowed, occult secret societies existing at the highest levels of the Christian church, government, and society have been both the intelligentsia and the real powers behind what has been variously called the progressive underground, the anti-establishment, the 60s sexual liberation movement, and the anti-tradition counterculture. That's a mouthful, but that's the truth. Every president learns, I don't know how quickly, but he learns that he's in there for a while, and the powers that be were there when he showed up, and they'll be there when he's gone. Yes. Now that's a hard one to swallow. Think about it. That shows you how important that the electorate is. You see, Marx simply, and Lenin, and they said it this way. You have a bourgeoisie, then you have a proletariat. You have the proletariat. These are at the bottom. This is the herd. These are the ones that you give public consumption. You give out information. You wash and brain. You brainwash them. You lead them, and all they know is what they're spoon fed. That's the proletariat. Then the bourgeoisie. They know where the real power lies. The problem with being in the bourgeoisie is they'll show up one night and blow your brains out if they decide they want to get rid of you. Leon Trotsky was part of the. Of the crowd that was the Bolsheviks over there that had hand in murdering the Tsar and his wife and his beautiful young daughters. He was part of what went on over there. But you know what happened to Trotsky? They hunted him down in Mexico and blew his brains out. The same crowd that he was part of over there in Russia. You see, that's the way it works.
Yeah, that was Charles Lawson. And Pastor Charles Lawson, we're going to carry on with his talk with the sermon in the next talk here, with the next Christian War Room. If you want to check it out on the website and you can't wait for it, you can do this. It's going to be talk number, let me just check it, 70, talk number 70. And you can do this at christianwarroom.com. Just go to the website, go to audio, and then click down, and you can listen to it there. Charles Lawson makes a very interesting point. No, the thing is, you know, when we talk about the Christian war, we need our armor needs to be buckled with the belt of truth. We need to have the belt of truth. We need to be wearing it. We need to understand what is going on around us, and very often we don't, because we live in a little ghetto. We close our eyes, we do our Christian stuff, and we, you know, do the flowers on a Sunday morning in the church hall, and we, you know, do a little duties here and there, but sometimes we miss out on the great picture. I'm not saying whatever that is wrong. I don't want to belittle it, but it's important to understand that we need to understand the big picture at times. And then based on the big picture, we need to pass it on to those around us, warn them, and lead them away from this. Now, this world is doomed. This world is doomed, and we need to let the people around us know that this world is doomed and there's only one way out, and that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. Okay, so tune in tomorrow for the remainder of the talk, and we will then sort of carry on to a little bit more war room activity, you know, getting some ideas how to do and what to do with the Christian war room. Lord, we want to praise you for Pastor Charles Lawson, and we pray, Lord, that you will protect him, that you will build your hedge around him, and that you will bless him, Lord, that you will give him insight, deep insights to pass on to his congregation and to many people outside his congregation as well. We pray, Lord, that your hand will be upon his life. Lord, help us also to understand and to pick from his talks what is really important to pass on to the next generation, to warn them from the brainwashing that is taking place all over this country. And we pray, Lord, help us, Lord, to free us, Lord, from this mind control that is taking place, and to focus on your word only. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.